KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies and 45 degrees in Atlantic. We look for light rain to be ending this morning where it's still occurring, and partly cloudy to cloudy skies for the balance of the day, and a high of 59. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, the U.S. Department of Education has named 305 schools as 2011 National Blue Ribbon Schools based on their overall academic excellence or for their success in closing achievement gaps. The department will honor the entire 256 public and 49 private schools with their National Blue Ribbon School Awards at a conference and awards ceremony to be held in Washington, D.C., November 14th through the 15th. The Anita Elementary School, which is now known as the Cam North Elementary School, was one of the recipients of this Blue Ribbon Award. Only seven Iowa schools, including four elementary schools, were named 2011 Blue Ribbon Schools. And a list of the 2011 National Blue Ribbon Schools is available at www.ed.gov/National Blue Ribbon Schools. U.S. Ag Secretary of Education Arne Duncan said America's long-term economic prosperity and civic engagement depends on children receiving a world-class education, and he says National Blue Ribbon Schools are committed to accelerating student achievement and preparing students for success in college and careers. Their success is an example for others to follow. The National Blue Ribbon School Award honors public and private elementary, middle, and high schools where students achieve at high levels or where the achievement gap is narrowing. Since 1982, more than 6,500 of America's schools have received the coveted award. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, "Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty." And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, three people faced charges in connection with the party held last weekend in Harlan. According to Harlan police, 18-year-olds Cody Schweary and Brandon Allen and 17-year-old Dylan Hansen, all of Harlan, were charged with supplying alcohol to persons under the legal age. Officials said on September the 10th, the police department was notified of an underage party taking place in the 700 block of 5th Street in Harlan. Upon further investigation, several persons were charged or cited. 17-year-old James Schwarty of Harlan, along with Dylan Hansen and 18-year-old Trent Went of Portsmouth, were charged with possession of a controlled substance. Schwarty and Hansen were also charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. 16-year-olds Jenna Rasmussen and Austin Hess, both from Harlan, along with Schwarty, Schwery, and 17-year-old Jordan Fitzmaurice of Panama, were each charged with possession of alcohol under the legal age. Each of the individuals under the age of 18 were cited and released. Cody Schwery and Trent Went were brought to the Shelby County Jail, and charges were filed at a later date on Brandon Allen, with a warrant having been issued by the court. The bleeding of red ink at the U.S. Postal Service could affect the lifeblood of more than just small-town post offices across Iowa and around the country. Officials of the USPS say some larger facilities in slightly larger towns could close as well. Postmaster General Patrick Donahue said in a press conference yesterday the USPS is forced to face a new reality, and as a result, four processing centers in Iowa, five in Nebraska, and two in Missouri are on the list of 252 centers nationwide that have been targeted for possible consolidation or closure as the post office searches for ways to save money. The processing centers in Creston, Carroll, Waterloo, and Cedar Rapids are all candidates for closure. And that's in addition to the 178 proposed post office closings across Iowa, which were previously announced. Closing those mail processing centers could cost as many as 35,000 jobs. The Postal Service lost $8.5 billion last year and is facing an even larger deficit this year. It's not clear when the proposed changes to their service system will take place. A new monthly survey of bankers suggests the economy in rural areas of 10 Midwestern and Plains states continues to slow, but the region is helped by strong farm income. The overall rural Main Street Index for the region improved to 52.2 in September from last month's 49.3, suggesting weak economic growth. Anytime that index, which ranges from 0 to 100, is above 50, it would suggest the economy will grow. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss, who oversees the survey, says this month's result don't suggest a recession, but the numbers have deteriorated. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held Thursday morning in Atlantic for a new design technology program at Iowa Western Community College's Cass County Center. Students enrolled in the program will learn to build 3D virtual products using specialized software developed by Texas-based Siemens Product Lifestyle Management. Jay Miller, a native of Atlantic, conceived the idea of having the program, which is the first of its kind in the nation, for a two-year college. Miller said graduates of the program will fill a need companies have to replace retiring workers in the high-tech industry throughout the world. One of the companies which is in need of those types of students the program will instruct is Rockwell Collins. Dale Wolf, who's head of engineering services for Rockwell, said the knowledge students gain in state-of-the-art tools in 3D electronic design and data management should provide them with significant employment opportunities in a variety of industries.
Rockwell Collins, as well as the rest of the aerospace industry, is looking at lots of skilled workers and looking for potential resources to backfill those workers as they leave. As the aerospace industry and other industries work to fill the needs and rebuild their skilled workforce, this program should provide great opportunity to draw those skilled workers from.
Bill Boswell, head of partnerships for Siemens PLM Software in Des Moines, says he attended a conference of industry analysts who cover the manufacturing industry in Boston, Massachusetts last week. He said one of the things they talked about, in addition to the recent devastating effects of the hurricane, was the perfect storm the industry faces for finding educated and highly skilled workers.
Met with one of the HR vice presidents of one of our aerospace customers. They have over 163,000 employees, and in the next 10 years alone, they expect to have 50,000 retirements. So you can imagine the brain drain that that puts on companies.
Boswell said even with a poor global economy last year, there was still a need for 3 million engineers. Colleges and universities worldwide, though, only graduated about 2.25 million students, which leaves a shortage of 750,000 worldwide just to keep up with the booming technology. Iowa Western Community College, he said, is the first partner his company has worked with to create a two-year associate's degree program around product lifestyle management. The Army Corps of Engineers estimates it will cost more than $2 billion to repair the damage to the nation's levees, dams, and riverbanks caused by this year's excessive flooding. That sum dwarfs the $150 million the Corps has on hand for such repairs and will likely rise because it doesn't account yet for damage caused by Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. The U.S. Senate is considering a $7 billion emergency disaster relief bill that would route $1.3 billion to the Corps. And a competing House bill will route $3.7 billion to disaster aid, including $226 million to the Corps. The Army Corps of Engineers has prioritized repairs that will protect lives once next year's flooding season begins. Crews are racing to repair the Mississippi River levees while Missouri River levels continue to recede. The Cass County Board of Supervisors this week approved the signing of a proclamation marking the week of September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week 2011. The Daughters of the American Revolution had asked the board to consider their request as a means of honoring the 224th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution by the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Board Chair Dwayne McFadden signed the proclamation, which was authorized by the President of the United States under Public Law 915. McFadden says the Cass County Board of Supervisors asked citizens of the county to take time to reaffirm the ideals the framers of the Constitution had when they created that historical document. In other business, the supervisors Wednesday, after having received word there may be a request to add additional Veterans Memorial to the Atlantic City Park, asked Steve Livengood to present information about the proposal. Livengood said he was not aware of any plan to erect a new memorial, and there would likely be no such plan to do so in the future. Therefore, the board elected not to amend a decision they made last week to remove and replace the county's portion of the sidewalk located east of the City Park Monument. The board had said last week that if another memorial had been in the works, it would be pointless to tear up the sidewalk until work on any new memorial was completed. The supervisors Wednesday also held the first reading of an ordinance establishing supervisor districts and election precincts in Cass County. A second reading, along with the likely waiving of the third and final reading, will be held during their meeting next week. Presidential candidate Rick Perry is suggesting Republican rival Mitt Romney would not provide a stark contrast with President Obama in the 2012 election because of Romney care. as Governor of Massachusetts Romney signed a law which requires Massachusetts residents to get health insurance or pay a penalty.
Government-mandated, government-run health care. It is part of what he put in place as the governor of Massachusetts. It is time, I think it's very important that we put someone as our nominee that does not blur the lines between President Obama and the Republican Party.
According to Perry, a Beacon Hill Institute study shows Massachusetts lost thousands of jobs because of the state health care mandate. Perry touts his own record as governor of Texas as the blueprint for turning the economy around. During this past Monday's televised debate among the GOP candidates, Romney suggested the economy in Texas was booming for a variety of reasons other than Perry's stewardship as a governor. Perry brought that up during a speech last night in Jefferson.
Governor Romney the other night, he said that about, you know, he said, well, it's pretty easy to be governor when you get four aces in your hand and you think you're good at poker. There's some folks back in Texas that were a little offended by that. We worked hard in Texas. We put good, hard, practical principles into play.
Perry also seemed to criticize Romney's background. Romney's the son of a former Michigan governor, and George Romney earned his wealth in the car industry. Governor Perry's appearance at the Greene County GOP fundraiser in Jefferson was arranged this past Tuesday, and about 200 people showed up last night to hear the Texan. He's scheduled to be in Atlantic this afternoon at 2:15 for a tour of the Coca-Cola bottling company and to give some prepared remarks. Taking a look at world headlines here on KJAN, revolutionary fighters are still trying to push their way into the center of Muammar Gaddafi's hometown in Libya, but they're facing continued resistance from snipers and rocket barrages. Gaining control of the city would be a major victory for Libya's new leadership as it tries to crush the remains of Gaddafi's regime. Congress may wind up taking some of the blame for flooding that damaged thousands of Pennsylvania homes and businesses last week. The floods have renewed old questions about the lack of protection for towns located along the flood-prone Susquehanna River. Congress years ago authorized millions for mitigation, but only $7 million has been spent, and the funding has all but dried up. Newly released emails show there was administration concern about a solar technology company's financial health, even as it got $528 million in federal stimulus loans. Officials publicly declared the company in good shape, but it declared bankruptcy last month and laid off 1,100 workers. News time is 8:12.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty. And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Joyce Riggs, age 85, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Services for Joyce Riggs will be today at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Lenora Woolenhouse, age 83, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Tuesday. Services for Lenora Woolenhouse will be today at 1:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Calvin Campbell, age 90, formerly of Audubon, died Saturday in Minnesota. Funeral services for Calvin Campbell will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Assembly or the Assembly of God Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Virginia Spiker, age 97, of Atlantic, died Monday. A memorial service for Virginia Spiker will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Margaret Jensen, age 87, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Private family graveside services for Margaret Jensen will be held in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Carl Campbell, age 84, of Orient, died Thursday in Greenfield. Services for Carl Campbell are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting for KJAN News.